113.
Lucky number 13 plus 100. I think
you went over.
No, that was 100.
No, I
counted. Anyway, Ping, of course, the weekly show that brings you all the hottest news. The Microsoft users are pinging each other about someone just pinged me right then.
Look at that.
And very important, but I'm going to not answer that email because I want to talk to you, our audience, and let's do some viewer comments, some feedback.
Yeah. I love these comments because they all tell me how right I am.
Apparently, Paul got lucky once.
Yeah, I knocked out of the park this last episode, which is
Laura... He's only gotten lucky once.
This is why Laura didn't post the video till Wednesday.
Paul got lucky once. Anyway, about the older people in Peanuts, or I thought it was just the teacher.
The Laura Foys of Peanuts?
Yeah, exactly. Wah, wah is what I sound like. I don't even need to be here right now. I've got things to do. I thought that all the older people... No, I thought that only the teacher said, wah, wah, wah. I don't remember what I thought.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, I was mistaken for once.
Yeah.
And Paul got lucky,
yeah,
like I said. So, in other news, we are still at the very, very, very close to end of our Twitter competition.
Yes.
I think I need less than 100 followers.
No,
more.
You have very, very bad stats. So the current stats,
okay,
as of right now, are that I have 738, you have 1599, okay? So that means that you have 148 left to go.
Okay.
And I have a few more.
He's got about 400 left to go.
Yes.
So just hop on and follow me at Elfoy.
Yeah, and at Paul Ness.
No, don't do that. And then we can get to the ultimate display of embarrassment that will be the final challenge.
There is someone, Justin, who said that he was surprised. He's one of my 40 followers, 40 new followers.
And
he was surprised that we didn't talk about the Scott Adams Windows Phone Challenge. Because apparently Scott Adams, the creator of Dilbert, has been having issues with other types of phones, smartphones, whether it be battery life or user interface problems.
Okay.
And Brandon Watson, who I think you went out to lunch with recently.
Good friend of mine.
Recently gave a shout out to Scott Adams and said, you know what, I'm going to give you a new developer phone with the new Mango OS, and I want you to try it out.
Yeah.
So Scott Adams gave us a shout out saying, okay, we're gonna roll up our sleeves and we're gonna take this. And he's like, does Brandon Watson not realize what I do for a living, which is to make fun of things like this? So challenge accepted. So,
but we haven't seen the results of it yet.
Nope, not yet.
Maybe in a future week. Maybe he'll be kind. Maybe he'll play with the Windows Phone and not have anything bad to say because it's awesome.
Yeah, maybe it is to
awesome.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. All right, let's start the show.
Okay.
All right, Paul. Apparently nowadays there's a competition for everything. Not only for fastest person to get 500 new Twitter followers, clearly the most important competition.
But what else could there be out there?
There's a competition for Masters of Excel.
Yes.
Microsoft Excel, commonly used spreadsheet data form.
And that's all the knowledge you have of Excel.
I would not win the Excel championship.
Yes.
I'm very good at Word and PowerPoint, but Excel is not my forte. Not really into spreadsheets to begin with.
Oh, well, you know,
but I'm into designing in PowerPoint.
I do make spreadsheets.
I know, in your spare time.
All the time, yeah. It's actually one of the things that I do. I just make these little spreadsheets online. Girl's name is Rebecca Rickwood. She's 15 years old.
15.
And there was this competition that spanned 57 different countries.
Double.
228,000 students had participated in this, and she finally won. She got a perfect score in the qualifying rounds.
1,000 out of 1,000.
And she got a perfect score in the Global World Championship.
And then there was like timed things too, right? Like, yeah, who can make the fastest data auto sum column?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably something more tough than that though.
I would imagine. I actually didn't see like what the individual steps were, but they were time based things, so I can imagine it ranges all the way from doing like simple data entry to manipulating that data, making pivot tables.
Right.
I don't know if it went as advanced as making macros or anything like that, but I'd be interested in finding out what this test is because I would like to test my own skills.
Well, she won $5,000. I'm pretty sure it's not open to Microsoft employees, although I don't know.
Yeah, well,
I don't know.
I don't care about competing against the students. I just want to see how well I could do and if I could also get
$1,000. Excel part of Ribbon Hero?
It is part of Ribbon Hero.
So there you go. You can just ramp up your Ribbon Hero score.
I do have over 1,000 on Ribbon Hero now. I think I'm on the second or third level.
Well, you know, I mean, this girl says that she would go and practice at lunch.
Yeah.
And after school.
Yep.
And this, to me, sounds like something that you would do.
This is exactly what I did. Like, I took a class in college that was called, like, BIT 311, yeah. which was, like, computational analysis with Excel. And I already knew basically everything before the class had begun. So whenever there was a test uh-huh. and everyone is, like, trying to flip through, like, the book, I would just, like, do the exam. The
right.
final exam.
Is that when, yeah.
The final exam.
Uh-huh. No, this is a good story.
The end of the semester, there were, you could choose from two separate exams.
Uh-huh.
And then you could just hand in whichever one was that you'd done.
Like, did them both.
I did them both. And I finished a half an hour before anyone else finished one.
God, you were so cool.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank the Academy.
Little known fact about Paul. Paul was actually also the treasurer of your ping pong club.
Yeah, the Wolverine Table Tennis Club. What? I don't understand why that's so surprising.
I'm just saying our collegiate experiences were slightly off par.
Yeah.
A little bit different. I'm picturing you more in line with Rebecca Rickwood.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think I could also probably do Excel 2010 better than her because she's only the best in Excel 2007.
Yeah, I wonder why they did it in 2007 because this is a recent competition.
Yeah.
I guess because they figured more people were more their skills were up to date with that.
Yeah, or maybe they did things where it was like the stuff that's the same between 2007 and 2010 and I don't know.
Right, more people have 2007.
Yeah, I don't know if that's even true because I think 2010 has been selling like
hotcakes. I'm just talking out of my rear.
Yeah, you have a tendency to do that. But
Matt, you want to go to the next story?
Excuse me?
Unbeknownst to the winner, the $5,000 prize was actually given as part of a golden spreadsheet. So it was kind of like Willy Wonka and the chocolate factory.
It's good.
Okay.
Good thing you got that last joke in.
Yeah, good times. All right, everybody. Laura over here is a member of Mensa, one of the smartest people in the world, and she absolutely loves numbers. And I have some big numbers to share with you today.
I can't wait, Paul.
Big numbers.
I'm excited. Are you going to put them in a spreadsheet for me, or are you just going to recite them?
I could. I'd probably put them in PowerPoint.
I prefer to take things orally. I've
heard that about you. So there are, Gartner has recently done some research and announced that 94% of new PCs this year. Are going to ship with Windows 7 on it.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. That's 635 million new PCs going out there with Windows 7.
And do you think that can be attributed to our economy?
Ping? Yeah, it's ping.
It's probably ping, but also maybe our economy and the need for less expensive laptops and netbooks would ship with Windows 7?
Yeah, I think that there is a lot of stuff that comes from netbooks, but I think the large established businesses are still like PCs and laptops, and netbooks are the highest growing segment. I would be surprised if netbooks actually outpace the total sales of either laptops
or desktops. So this is more based on enterprises and businesses.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of different things. So there is one huge growth segment is that now that it's been 12 to 18 months since Windows 7 has launched,
right.
A lot of businesses are prepared to start deploying Windows 7 into their enterprise.
Right.
So they're going from Windows XP from long ago, a handful of companies that actually
skipped over that Vista thing.
Yeah, and it's a pretty common thing, at least in like the server business that I'm a part of, that companies won't go from like each release to the next release.
Who knows?
And they'll do the skip because it actually takes time to validate it in your environment and make sure your homegrown applications are working on the new platform.
Did you ever go into like any type of store and you peer over onto the computer that said person is using behind the counter and
yeah.
it's running like Windows 95?
Yeah.
And I just like,
yeah.
I feel bad.
And they don't even
know that they're on an outdated system. And I'm like, the things you're missing.
The cashiers know because they're playing with their smartphones. And they get it.
They get it. They know they're a little out of date.
But the businesses don't know how easy it is to take advantage of those super old machines. Like, there are ways to, like, bypass the login screen and stuff like that. Now, Windows
that
XP was pretty
legal.
Solid. Oh, no. There's a lot of illegal things.
Hey, I wouldn't condone that sort of behavior.
But yeah, so there's by the end of the year, it's projected that there's going to be 42% of the total PC population is going to be running Windows 7. So there's a lot of upgrade happening. And there was an article that came out last week where it said that the percentage of Windows 7 PCs in Europe is finally going to exceed that of Windows XP. So that was a very quality operating system that was deployed very broadly. There's a lot of adoption time between XP and Vista.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty impressive that now with Windows 7 being out there for a
while.
That's
great, and I'm happy for everyone. I'm a big fan of Windows 7, my favorite operating system by far, thus far.
Is it because you can go to the company store and just be like, here, put it on there?
I go to help desk to do that, but yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah.
All right, Paul. Frequently on this show, we discuss some of the amazing products, innovation, technology coming out of Microsoft Research.
MSR, we love
MSR. MSR. And now I've found an article, some even more brilliance coming out of Microsoft Research, touching on the fashion world.
Oh, really?
That's right. Two women from Microsoft Research, well, actually one from woman from Xbox and one from MSR, got together and built this dress that is essentially a live tweeting representation of your tweets.
Really?
Really.
Interesting.
So essentially what you're saying on Twitter, you are actually owning as yourself and wearing. It's very meta.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you might right over your head.
It might have gone completely over my head.
But it probably did. But I could still see you in the dress.
Right.
I think the dress would look nice on
you. Well, I'm sure with enough Photoshop, you could see me in pretty much anything.
But, or when you lose the Twitter competition.
Yeah, that's bound to happen unless my 40 followers really just kind of start getting a good viral action going on. But I think that having a dress like this would be something that could help my Twitter followers. Like
probably.
Because that way, like, people could just see, like, what I was
So I think if we just started wearing clothes that said, like, follow at ElfBoy, it doesn't need to be digital.
Right.
I would probably get a lot more followers.
Sure.
Especially if I went to, like, places where a lot of people are.
Right. Like, any of those conferences that you go to, and you can just kind of wear that, and everyone just kind of drools over the fact
that
you're
a good idea. If this challenge hasn't been fixed by the time Build rolls around in September, trust me, that's what I'll be wearing in Anaheim.
Yeah. So the cool thing about this dress is that it's made up of, like, all these different parts. So there's
right. Back to the dress.
There's a laptop as part of it. There's a projector. There's four different circuit boards, and there's actually, like, laser cut, like, typewriter shaped buttons.
And to tell you the truth, like, I've seen before where people have, like, keyboard bras. I think we even talked about it one week, and they're just, like, silly. This is actually a really stylish looking dress.
I don't know why that's silly. That teaches you really where the home keys are.
Right.
Stop the program!
But
I would wear this dress. I mean, it's. Outside of being...
Would you rather wear this dress or the dress that it was inspired from, which is the
tea bag?
No, it was the tea-stained paper dress.
I would rather wear this dress. I think this is a cool-looking dress.
Yeah.
I don't want my tweets. I would turn it off.
Sure.
I don't want the digital aspect of it all, but stylistically...
Because you probably, you really don't have the most clever tweets. And you're...
First of all, if there's anyone who's been tweeting filthy, foul, disgusting things in the two of us, it's definitely not me.
Yeah, it
so
totally is.
So you probably don't want...
Streaking.
Your grandmother might be in the room, and then you walk by, and she'd realize what a poor, poor grandson she has.
No, I think she would wonder why I would be in a dress. I think that would be the first thing
crosses
her mind. But this would be an amazing thing. If you wore this down at Build, not only would nerds love you for being Laura Foy, they would also love you because that way they have a thought in their mind that they could make it to second base by trying to reboot your outfit when it fails.
All right, so here's the thing. I'm going to reach out to Asta Roseway and Sheridan Martin Small and see if they'll let me wear it. Stay tuned.
Good luck with that.
You don't think so?
No.
It's probably too big for me.
Yeah, you're very tiny.
Yeah. All right, everybody, some more exciting news coming out of Microsoft Research, and potentially this could be something that the Kinect developers are excited by as well. Microsoft Research has created a new way to get a 3D model, a, like, super, super, super realistic 3D model of...
People's faces. Yeah, this is coming from the Microsoft's Beijing lab, so we have research labs all over the place, and the folks over in Beijing looks like they've taken Kinect... and they have done their own little hacks with it.
Yeah.
And they've tried to figure out ways where you can get much more detailed rendering of things.
So you could see, like, every blemish on Paul's face.
Yep. Yeah, uh-huh. you could perfectly see
every
manicured.
Every wrinkle in the corner of his eyes.
Yeah.
Crystal clear.
Yep.
And you can get all that.
And you could even probably see how smooth Laura's makeup is on top of
You
her
probably
skin.
Could. So it's really amazing. I mean, you think about the technology behind Avatar and some of these other CGI movies, and they're saying this is even better than that.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how this could be incorporated into, like, the digital effects that studios use. Like, with all the animated films, like, if they would actually take, like, the voice actor's face and scan that with Kinect, or, like, as they're doing the voiceover... maybe they actually have the actors, like, do the facial expressions.
Well, actually, I mean, did you see Rise of the Planet of the Apes is out now?
I've not seen that.
Well, I haven't seen it either, but I did see a program on how the the apes were created, and they do full facial scanning and turn your human, like, sad eyes and smiles into the ape's face, and you can watch it transform. So some people do that, and hopefully this technology will take that all to the next level. And they mentioned something about how you can open Outlook with the
Outlook.
Type of... Outlook! That's something else. with a smirk. So there are some trickle-down, some real-world ways in which this may actually benefit the little people's lives.
Yeah, I don't believe in a lot of these random examples that people throw out there, like, why would I want to open Outlook with some type of smirk? But I think that there could be some real-world applications that do come of this.
Well, I like Avatar Kinect, where it recognizes when you smile and move your head and raise your eyebrows, so this will take that to the next level. That's fun for me.
I suppose. So I guess Avatar Kinect is a good thing, because that way Laura will never get Botox, because that way, if she wants to raise her eyebrows, she'll always be able to. But if you get Botox, it just won't happen.
Everybody, that's it for this week. Hope you enjoyed the show. That's the ping dance. It's going to start sweeping the nation. Everyone at home. It's a ping dance. It's a ping dance.
Is that the ping dance, or is that just something ridiculous that we watched right before?
It's something ridiculous that we watched, okay. which we're gonna share with you. So make sure to follow at Elfoy.
And
comment
at Paul
as
Ness.
Always. I'm going to nail this real quick, and we're going to throw to this video of this awesome dude playing Kinect Jockey. So if you've ever thought of playing it, perhaps in front of a potential suitor or a date, I would think twice after watching this video. See you next week.